Rob, you are a legal better. Legal better.
True story.
There's three of us here. We're going to listen to you now. Tell us what you think that cricket gets wrong that you can see from the markets. What are things, you know, that you have noticed where you're just like, they're just doing this wrong?
Batting order, number one.
Batting order.
It really is very wrong.
Is that so, because batters are really precious about their batting order and they become a bit nerdy? And
a fair bit of it is that I've heard that some teams have suggested that they change their batting orders, and certain individuals say, I'm batting here and that's the end of that. And I am a number four, or I am an opener, and that's how it must be. And the best T20 teams have fluid batting orders. Everyone has a role, but sometimes the game and the conditions mean that people's roles have to change, or the guy that is only there, you know, I talk about him a lot, but Badrinath was only batting for Chennai in certain conditions, right? RCB do it with Crunnell. They go, well, we need you today. Ashwin used to do it for Rajasthan all the time. Some bats are there just to elongate the batting order. Rajasthan in the, whatever it's called, qualifier two, were like, well, we have to delay for Ferreira's entry point, so we're going Jadeja, and then he retired hurt, and they go, well, sorry, we're going to have to throw Jofra up. Like, people change their batting orders, right? It makes sense.
I thought that was really good, by the way.
And sometimes you can tell by the market itself that they bring somebody in to bat, and we're like, it can't be that guy. And the odds crash on the other team, right? Because what I've worked with some of the best, who have since got rid of me, obviously. They have actual captaincy tools in their model that says, based on these millions of simulations and all this data that you've given me of how good each player is and how good each player is in these conditions, you must bowl this guy next. Jasprit Bumrah must bowl this over now because you need him. And when they don't, the odds shift. And if they bring Bumrah on at the right time, the odds shift towards Mumbai or India or whoever he's playing for, right? So there are ways that the market basically says that's a bad decision.
So batting order?
Yeah.
What's the next one?
Sometimes it's playing around the rain, and I don't think many players know the exact equation when they're out there. You know, if it rains now, we really don't want to lose another wicket, or we must get ahead before the rain comes, that sort of thing.
Is that fair?
That sends...
So
before it's rained?
Yeah.
You don't know. You know, once it's rained, you get there. Yeah.
Yeah, so we get a Duckworth-Lewis kind of thing.
The Duckworth-Lewis at the start of every innings,
yeah.
But it's very rare. Yeah, but it's very rare for a player to do it unless it is raining or they're sure it's going to rain.
Potential for rain. But even in the batting order thing, right? Now, why did Badrinath succeed? Like, if you go down to the nuts and bolts of it, he succeeded because his place in the 11 was never questioned. He had the luxury of a long rope, and they depended on him, and the communication of the role was clear. And it was said to him that you'll bat here, you bat there, but you'll bat to in a situation, right? And that role was defined, and he was told that you'll get as many chances as possible. That makes it easier for you to go out there and perform as an athlete. Because I'm perceiving this from an athletic, like from a batter's point
of view. Did you used to play cricket?
In my past life. And I just feel like one of the things that a lot of teams buy into what you're saying, right? And they're like, yes, this makes a lot of sense and we need to do that. But they fail on the other side of the spectrum completely. They don't communicate at all to players. They don't fill a role for them. They don't give them an extended run and clarity about how many opportunities they'll get. Because, listen, when you move a player around so much, it gets very hard to perform.
Mm.
Right?
Clarity of role, right?
Clarity of role, one. And then the extended rope, right? To say that, okay, you know what? You'll be moved around, but don't worry. We'll make sure that, you know, we're accommodating you with a lot of chances.
I remember RCB one year had this plan that every different pitch should have a different 11, and they presented it to the team and it was fine. And after the first game, they dropped a couple of players who played well, and the players were like, why have we been dropped? They're like, but we told you, like, it's hard to get that in. But having said that, it makes a lot of sense, right? That
RR did that, remember, one season, I think it was a 2015-14 season, where they were doing really well, but they played horses for courses kind of a thing. And they were like on the top of the table at the first half of the league. And then they literally went to almost the bottom of the table by the second half of the league. Because they were like, horses for courses, we'll change our 11 every game. We'll have a different captain every other game. They tried this whole new model. And that didn't work because you really need to buy in the players. And they don't generally do that. So there is value in what you're saying. But it has an impact on the players and teams as well. And for it to come out right... And again, it's because of the complexity of our sport, right? It's an individual sport within a team sport. So because it's that, it just becomes that much more complex to do because the internal competition is always on. You don't want to give up your spot to somebody else.
Also, kids start batting at number four at like 12, 13, and they get it in their head. Whereas I think a lot of this starts at junior cricket where you need to say to kids, you should be moving.
I think it should actually be if you have to keep your... If you have to keep it that clear for people because of egos and I am this number, then you say, you bat, it's not batting order, it's entry point. And you go, so you are our guy for the power play. If we haven't lost X wickets, then take your pads off.
But even that is such a hard thing to communicate, right? Like it's a very nuanced bit of communication to a player. Right? Like, okay, your utility is in the first 6 overs only. Right. And then so a lot of things need to be normalized in cricket for a lot of what we're talking about to become a norm. Imagine you say, Ajinkya Rahane, you're brilliant in the first six. I want you to bat in the first six. If you don't get out at the end of 6 overs, we want you to retire. Right. Because we have another utility. Like, but if that happens, then first it's going to be met with a lot of resistance,
mm-hmm.
not just from people outside.
People don't like change.
Yeah. And even from the player themselves, right? Ajinkya won't want to do that because he'll back himself to say, no, I'll bat through. I have 160 strike rate. I have 145 strike rate. I can show him
the stats if he needs to see.
No, but I'm just giving you an example.
I know what you mean. I get that. I think that's a big part. I think a lot of these things, when they're brought in the wrong way, right? Like it's about how you communicate. Okay, so we've got batting order. We've got keeping ahead of DRS and understanding where you are in DRS.
Bowling changes.
And you've never mentioned this before.
The right-left fallacy and matchups, all of that stuff.
It's a fallacy, right? Yeah. The right-left
so matchup. So if you've got a really, really good player who is right-handed and you have a slightly worse player who is left-handed, you shouldn't let the left-handed player face more balls just because you've got one at each end, right? It's nonsense. The better player should be playing. The stats back this up too. And I think when you have a big enough sample size of stats, if people are made more aware of this stuff, we've seen the ridiculous stuff like Chahal not being allowed to bowl when he's clearly the best bowler in the team. He's bowled 3 overs, 2 for 16 or something. And they go, yeah, but you can't bowl at this guy because the matchup doesn't work. He's like, he's on one, right? He's bowling really well. He's found the length on the pitch. Let him carry on and finish his spell rather than throwing the ball to some pacer who's going to go none for 15 off his over. And they're like, we should have bowled him. And now it's too late.
I reckon I covered an ODI in Barbados, where Adil Rashid bowled his first over in like the 34th over because Chris Gayle was in. I was like, guys, he's already smashing it.
Yeah.
Adil Rashid's not going to make a big difference in here. Let's just try him.
Yeah, and it's...
And then they do that. They won't bring the bowler on. The leg spinner wrong because there's a left-hander there. Then the leg spinner bowls wrong in every ball anyway.
Yes.
You might as well have just bowled him then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's so much that... If you had a way of explaining how the odds move in relation to some of these poor decisions. And it's like, I tell the traders that I manage, 50 very smart maths people, I'll go, listen, you don't know more than this market here, right? This market where there's hundreds of millions matched based on the most sophisticated maths. It blows my brain off.
We're talking about like $1 billion traded for an IPL game, right?
It's algorithms, it's models, it's quants guys, proper math geeks, are all coming together, and this one thinks RCB and this one thinks Gujarat, and the market meets at what the exact odds are, right?
Yes.
And it says this team has a 53% chance. It's based on so much intelligence and so many computer models and systems and stuff, but also for every mega geek turbo brain out there, you have people like me that actually understand the game of cricket and betting, right? Whereas I am not one of those clever people. I am somebody someone who's watched a disgusting amount of and can read the game, right?
Is it only the resistance from the teams? Because we just saw, like, after the first qualifier, Bhuvi, in a very extended speech, or I would say interview, said that that some of the decisions are influenced by the data, but data is just to help. It's not there to finally kind of make the final calls. So this is where we also need to understand, even the players, are they able to kind of embed the data into their play and improve? Because certain times they also feel they get overwhelmed.
But what Rob is saying is that if you have a cricket team, you have, so generally the person who's doing the analysis, that might not be the case for RCB, is actually logging the game. Right. So they're like, okay, so this ball was here, put a note down, this happened, right? When the betting market is doing it, you're talking about maybe 200 quants, maybe 100 other cricket analysts, maybe 200 other really smart cricket people who've made money in the past. It's very hard to compare that to one analyst. You can be a genius, right? Yes. And chances are you won't pick up every single thing. Plus, you're at the ground. Other people are watching on TV. They've got different angles. So what he's saying is there is strength in the market.
Yeah, they're trying to do no stone unturned, right? So these clever syndicates, it won't just be the maths people. Mm. It's the maths people. Then it's somebody like myself with a brain that is more geared towards the game. And then you might have an ex-player in the room who has nothing to do with any numbers. He just sits there, or she sits there and goes, this pitch is reversing. I can see it. And that is dynamite information. And I think the best teams are not data driven. If you run something based on data, it becomes nonsense, right? Because there's no way, no matter how many millions of quants people you've got, that they could say something about the game like you can, because you've actually done it and you've actually played it right. But why not have the information available? Go, listen, if you put this guy into bat next, this market that over, you know, millions of samples is right, well, you're 10% less likely to win this cricket match if you let this guy bat now instead of this guy. You should not be two down at the end and you haven't let Romario or Tim David bat while somebody is nudging singles around, right? Yeah. It's a tactical thing. It makes sense. It baffles me that teams don't seem to want the information. And also, when some teams gamble like mad when they're in front, which you should never do, when you're in front, just hold, just stay in front and let the game play out. But when they're miles behind, you know what I'm going to say? Up the volatility, right? Bowl your leggy, do the mad thing, go to the different field, bowl the bouncers, whatever it is, right? Up the volatility when you're miles behind.
Is one of your favorite things in the world when they need 12 off 12 and everyone's back on the boundary?
It's this sort of stuff that happens every game that really matters to me. It's like, right, they need 6 off the last over, single. Well, what do you mean? Like, they definitely win if you let them have singles. You must change. Like, some of that stuff to me is last ball, they need 2 to win. Why is nobody anywhere near the stumps? Why is there nobody right in front of the bat who's there? Why has the wicketkeeper got both of his gloves on? All this stuff. And they say it's 1%, it's much less. I think a team who was privy to this information live, that just, like if I was playing, for example, if I was captaining a team, I said, what price are we to win this game now? Because sometimes teams play like, Australia were really good at this, they play like they're definitely going to win when they've got very little chance. That's why Australia won so many games. Yeah,
exactly.
But you should know, like, look, you're 10% to win this game, lads. So you better do something. You better change.
That's the whole Shane Warne thing, isn't it? When he starts the fight with Marlon Samuels.
Exactly.
That was his big thing, wasn't it? Of like, we're not going to win this, so something has to happen. Yeah.
Exactly that.
But again, that gets back to what you were saying before about, like, people don't like change, but they also don't like to do the risky thing and then get called out, right?
Yeah. There was a really good example of that in Owen Morgan's captaincy. He hadn't been doing it that long. It was an ODI. And England were defending, might have even been a T20, England were defending 7 off the last over. And he threw the ball to Adil Rashid, and Adil Rashid got whacked. And he got panned for it, Morgan. And they interviewed him afterwards. He said it was the right decision. He said they were gunning 12 and over against pace. They were going to win anyway. Mm. So I went with the higher volatility option, and it didn't pay off. But it was the right shout.
Yes.
Good gambler, right? He knows he's gambling, Owen Morgan. He can calculate the odds.
Legal gambling.
They say. So when you move that to, there's lots of ways you can gamble, right? Like when I started, I was rubbish, and I know people that are degenerates, and you know most of my friends, and I know people that are stupid with betting. And
most
I know,
of your friends.
I know most of my friends and myself, and I know people that are extremely clever with it. Where was I going with this? And it's absurd that you then get people that say, oh, he's a gambling captain. So an example is McCullum and Stokes.
Yes.
And you see now, here's one where the odds would really help someone that had a model would really help in a test match when you're setting up the declaration, right? And England have done them where they have drastically reduced their chances of winning, right? Not what they think they're doing is eradicating the chance of a draw, which is great, and we all like that. England don't, this current England do not draw test matches. That's fine, but they're making the other team's chances so much higher by declaring when they declare. Declaring Edgbaston, first day of a test match, right?
With Joe Root at the crease.
With 160 not out Joe Root or whatever it was, absolutely and completely mental. They lost that test match, they didn't win that series because of, so that's bad gambling. That's going to the roulette table with all your money and just chucking it around, right? That's bad gambling. Whereas Morgan, good gambler, understands odds and what they actually mean. So I think if these teams spoke to somebody that knew what they were on about in terms of the what is a good bet and what is a bad bet, they would improve their chances of winning.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.